Don Crutchfield, Confessions of a Hollywood PI. He's on the phone with us right now. Hi, Don.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Are you going to have problems finding work now in the future?
No.
Simply because you've talked like you have?
No. See, my celebrity business is just one segment of my investigation company. I work for Fortune 500 companies. I do real life stuff. And, you know, my clients, I checked it out with them first. And if you'll see on the back cover of the book, the first thing you see is Jerry Lewis says every word is right on the money.
Well, you have a lot of good things to say about Jerry Lewis, and I think you helped him out truly when he was done wrong.
Yes.
Tell that story, because that was one of the first chapters I read in your book. And I cannot understand why Jerry did this, but almost took a fanatic fan and hired him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. There was this kid that was a big fan of his. He lived in the Midwest, and he was like 17 years old or something like that. And he wrote him letters and letters, and, gee, if I could come to work for you, I'd work for nothing and what have you. And so Jerry, I guess he was probably like about 18 or 19 when Jerry actually flew him to California. He let him work on the set of the King of Comedy. And Jerry was paying him sort of a minimal thing, but the kid worked hard. Jerry gave him a nice bonus, set him up with an apartment. And the kid said, gee, you know, your warehouse is a mess. Let me put it together. Let me get it all straightened out and get everything categorized and everything. And Jerry said, that's fine. Jerry would invite him over to his house for holidays because he knew, you know, the kid's parents lived in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The kid traveled with him, sort of took care of certain arrangements and stuff like that. So for somebody that's a big fan of Jerry Lewis, this has got to be the greatest thing in the world, right?
Sure.
But what this kid does is all of a sudden we get one of these underground collectible papers, and it says, for sale, the original Colgate Comedy Hour with Martin and Lewis in Spanish. Now, the only copy that exists is owned by Jerry Lewis. Now, that would, and of course, we've got a very big Latino community in Los Angeles, but something like that would be headed for probably Mexico City,
mm-hmm.
and it would be worth a lot of money, so there was a mailbox, it was a mail drop, and I went and found out he's the one that had the mail drop and the whole bit. I'm interrogating the guy, and I find out that when he was like 17, he got some copy machines, and he was making copies of I Love Lucy, and he was advertising that he had the exclusive copyrights to the I Love Lucy show. The FBI come in and would have put him in prison, except he was a juvenile. But, I mean, I'm interrogating this guy, and he's a kid, but he's looking me straight in the eye, lying and the whole bit. And I finally got to him because he figured probably somebody named Nunzio was going to come and see him from Vegas. And so we said, we're going to go over to your house and see what you've got over there. Well, I mean, he had a... In the middle of the room, first of all, is a slot machine from the Sahara that was a gift to Jerry, which was worth a lot of money. But, I mean, I found the caddy, the original movie, you know, the big reel.
Jeez.
I found all these pictures that he was, and also a story he was writing for the National Enquirer, a tell-all story on Jerry. And so, anyway, it took us like three station wagon loads of stuff to get this out. And we started to take the... We started to take the slot machine. He goes, wait a minute, you can't take that. It's into me for $20. I take my clients very seriously, and they've been very nice to me. I'm very nice to them in the book. But I've got people like Roseanne Barr and Michael Jackson and O.J., and I just kind of toss those up so everybody can take a shot
at
it.
Let's take a look at those three real quickly. O.J. Simpson.
Well, I knew O.J. Back in the 70s. He used to hang out at the Luau restaurant. My office was right across the street at 430 North Rodeo. We had our own table in there. Steve Crane owned it. And nicest guy you would ever want to run into in your life. But when he's away from the public view, the guy's got one hell of a temper and very self-centered.
And you saw that side.
Oh, yes, I did.
Can you give us one incident?
I couldn't believe it. I seen him in the training camp one time. A good buddy of mine had been the head trainer at SC, was the head trainer at the Rams, and O.J. was getting rehabbed, and I seen him go totally ballistic in there, and I says, Kerry, why do you put up with this crap? And he says, well, because he's O.J. Don't pay any attention to him. But a buddy of mine was in Beverly Hills. He was he'd went to lunch, and he was walking through an alley to go back to his office, and he saw a Bentley swing around that said O.J. 32 on the license plate. And this was back when he was playing for Buffalo. And he goes, oh, man, that's the juices car there. And And this valet was pulling up to an entrance going off the alley, and when he stopped, he screeched the tires, and O.J. pulled him out of the car, wrapped him around, screaming and yelling, went totally ballistic, and then jumped in the car and drove away. Now, I mean, I don't like people, you know, doing stuff like that to my car, but I'm not O.J. I can't slap him around and get away with it. I'd go to jail.
Tell us about the, and you describe it this way, the dysfunctional family of Roseanne.
Oh, man. God, where do you start with that?
You said in the book she's got two daughters that are nothing but trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, see, I'm not in favor of you know, I figure stars, that they've sold their soul already, so they've got the fame, the fortune, so they've got to give something back, and I don't have a big problem with somebody taking a picture of them, but I don't like to see paparazzi or whatever take pictures of the kids, because that's where the detective in me comes out. I'm always afraid they're going to get kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like 70 of some of the wildest pictures you'll ever see, and I've got pictures of Jennifer and the other girl, I forget her name off the top of my head. I put those in there because they're flipping us the bone, and they were spitting at the press and everything else. So very well-behaved kids.
Yeah.
And but at the wedding, the first wedding I worked at for a media client, and it had been rumored that the house they lived in on Benedict Canyon was rat-infested. And when they got married, they turned around and started eating the cake with their bare hands. I figured they were trying to beat the rats to it. And then Tom Arnold says, as he wipes cake off his face, you know, we're your worst nightmare. We're rich, we're famous, and we're white trash. That's the only time I ever agreed with the guy.
You describe them as farm animals, don't you?
Yeah.
The whole Jackson family, there's a great picture of you and Father Joe.
Yeah.
And you said that after shaking hands, you had to check to see if you had your rings. Tell us about them.
Oh, wow. I mean, where do you start? I was probably the first person outside of law enforcement to find out about the child molestation thing. And I got to tell you, if I would have been his private detective, he'd still be doing Pepsi commercials, except I would have never taken the case, because that's one place I draw the line. I won't work for pedophiles.
Is there reason to believe you, a PI, know how to go and find the answers, know how to question people, know how to sniff out the things? Is he, in fact, a pedophile, Michael Jackson?
Let's put it this way. I've read the child service report. I've read the police report. And I've read the boy's deposition. Now, I work for Marlon Brando, and I think he's a brilliant actor, and I would have a hard time training him to do that part, much less a 13-year-old boy, and he doesn't waver or change his story one bit. So I don't think he was coached. I have the gory details down there, and I was investigating his relationship with that family before the allegations were even being made. So I tell all about that, too. But The thing with Lisa Marie, I was the first one to find out about that marriage.
Now, that was all a sham, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the only person that wasn't there that should have been there was Tina Turner, to saying, what's love got to do with it?
What was that whole marriage about?
You know, when they were supposedly on their honeymoon, we were following Lisa Marie, and she went to a plastic surgery clinic in Agoura Hills, California, and had liposuction on her thighs and breast augmentation. Now, I ask you, how many heterosexual couples on their honeymoon would have elective surgery that would preclude sex? I don't know of any.
So you don't think they even had sex, do you?
I would be very surprised. I mean, she was never around. I knew one of the bodyguards. I got to know one of the bodyguards rather well that traveled with Michael for like 8 years, and he was around, and he said he never saw her ever at Neverland. That's not saying she wasn't there, but when he was there, he never saw her, and he didn't even really know what she looked like, because she showed up at the Family Jackson Honors, which is kind of a play on words, but...
yeah, that trophy was a play, too.
yeah, but, I mean, she was trying to see him up there, and JJ was the bodyguard, and he didn't even know who she was. She had tattered jeans on, and he thought she was some kind of a hanger-on, and he kept running her off, and Michael Jackson thought it was hilarious. He was laughing, because she never told him his name. She automatically thought he knew who she was.
All right. Now, how well did you know Marlon Brando himself, a very elusive man?
I lived at Brando's house. Brando was one of the sweetest human beings I ever met in my life. He treated me like part of the family. He didn't have to do that. He was very generous. I found him very warm. He was eccentric as hell.
Yeah, that's what I would think. It's such an eccentric man.
Yeah, he was eccentric, and there was certain ground rules you didn't mess with, but other than that, very open. I mean, I felt totally at home at his house. And I can remember, I'm sitting in the front room, and Wally Cox used to come over every night. That was his best buddy in the world.
I got to ask you about, before you go any further, you've always heard the rumor about him and Wally Cox.
It's the original Odd Couple, but Wally, when he died, Marlon had his remains cremated, and he still carries them around in an urn and talks to him from time to time.
That's strange.
That's very strange, but knowing Wally and knowing Marlon, I almost tell Marlon, say hi to Wally for me the next time you talk to him. But, I mean, Wally was up there, and I can remember it was Christmas time, and we're sitting up on top of Mulholland, see the lights all over the city, and we got a fire going. And so my job is to bodyguard Marlon Brando. I'd already put Christian to bed, and I'm sitting there talking with Wally, and he's having a drink, and Marlon says, Don, would you like a drink? And I says, yeah, Marlon, while you're at it, fix me a little VO and soda. And I'm thinking, geez, who wants to be a millionaire when you can live like one? I'm sitting at Marlon Brando's house. I'm getting paid for this, and he's making me a drink. And I was like 22 years old at the time.
Don, you've never sat out in the parking lot of a seedy motel with binoculars, have you?
Oh, God, I teased on that.
Let me ask you real quick before I let you go. What was the big scandal with the Beatles?
The big scandal was they were taking off. This guy stole a briefcase from Brian Epstein. It had drugs in there that he carried for the kids. Now, at that time, we were very prudent, and the mothers didn't want their kids to go see the Beatles because they thought their hair was too long. If you'd have thrown drugs in at that particular time, it would have killed them off.
What were the drugs?
It was some pills and some marijuana.
Oh,
but marijuana was a felony at that time.
Okay.
And so what I did was the guy was extorting him, but we turned the tables on this guy, and we got him thrown in jail for possession of the Beatles drugs, and he was still screaming about that.
Don Crutchfield, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's really been fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. The bill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
wrote a book on funny. But unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
This.
What happened?
We cannot have the keyboard cable wrapped around this or it will unplug this.
Oh, all right. I'll pass it along to Junior. Still booting? Still booting up?
Yeah.
I don't feel right without my applause.
Well, wait for it.
It's self-gratifying.
Well, compared to the other thing, this is a quick boot, so yeah. We'll just stand by.
All right.
Hopefully the silent sensor won't go off.
No, because you're getting a signal. It's when there's no signal. But we're getting a signal, so it could be silence and wouldn't go off.
Oh, we don't have a silent sensor? Because it used to, on other radio stations I worked at, it'd go to alternate programming if you were silent too long.
Maybe it does have alternate programming. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll test it later. Right now, I know you really want your applause.
That would be nice.
And because of the poor arrangement here, all that happened is it was all set up.
Yeah.
But it's unplugged as soon as I touch the keyboard.
Junior, make a note of that. Thank you, buddy. Hey, everybody. Hey there, gang. Stan and Haney here. Wednesday edition. You okay? Get it out. Get it
I'm
out.
I'm fine.
There. All right, you all good?
There are so many things that have to go right every day that most of the time you don't notice.
Let me explain something. I mean, Haney's absolutely right. Let me explain for the person that's just listening through their radio speaker in their car, or maybe at the office, or at home, or in your earbuds. Haney and I are sitting here. Yes, we have our new producer, Junior, who's doing a phenomenal job. He's learning the ropes, and even when they say he's doing wrong, I found this out, he's doing right.
And he's also doesn't make the same mistake twice.
Correct. And that is a plus.
That's a huge plus.
For me and you. I should have to say it once. Now, for those of you listening, Haney and I are sitting here, and this is the way it's been for years, when we went all digital and made it easy.
Yeah.
I have in front of me a control board, a computer system for the commercials and songs. I have the texting, and I have a CD player, which I use. So I use all of those. Haney has a computer, a mixing board with the sound effects and music on it and little drops and stuff. And then Junior has a set of those things as well. Now,
so that's a ton of audio inputs.
There's a bunch of audio inputs.
And we use all of them.
And the fact of the matter is, it shouldn't be this way. It should be right at our fingertips. If we want something, you hit the button, it's there, it's all equalized, it sounds great. This is not a user-friendly room. I don't care who hears it.
I thought you got all your anger out.
It
the
is,
other day.
But you know, you brought up the point. You make one little move on the keyboard, it unplugs something. We had the gremlins yesterday, and people don't understand. There's three people trying to run about eight different things, all of which are not in front of you. They're to the side, underneath, across the room.
I think the difficulty today, we can blame that on Thiokol.
Why not? Why not? Haney,
for those of you that got that, congratulations.
I need to
just realized a lot of people
have no
idea. You're
talking about Morton Thiokol?
Yeah. O-ring.
Mm-hmm. That's really out there.
Yeah.
That's way out there.
Yeah. It used to be clever, now it's just arcane.
And then kids today don't even know the first thing about it.
No.
You see, the Shuttle Challenger blew up by a faulty O-ring seal back in 1986.
Just a gasket.
And the company that made it was Morton Thiokol.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't realize change in outdoor temperature could make their little seal crack.
And
thus starting a fire.
And for a long time, that was all over the news. And you'd hear it every day. Morton Thiokol, Thiokol, Thiokol. You'd hear it all the time. The closest thing I can think of today would be like hearing Russia, 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 asshole country, Omarosa, 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 Omarosa.
Top one.
Would you agree?
Yes.
That's what it's like.
I'm just thinking because of the comments that we just made about Martin Thiokol out there yelling at us.
You mean Thiokol's coming after us?
Well, our version of it. Because they don't come in here every day. Oh, another thing before we take the break. Junior and I got to look at it. The new phone system that's coming in here. I guess the copper lines are good, but they determine that the phone system, you know how we always said we wanted the Merlin system?
Mm-hmm.
The phone system is bad.
Well, we had no idea.
So I'm told, yeah, we've been telling them for 10 years. So they dropped 4 figures to get us new phones. Unbeknownst to me, every other radio station in here got new phones, the new 4-figure phones. We were the ones stuck with the old ones.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, I got to look at them. They're beautiful. Beautiful. It should be once.
But are they functional?
Yes.
Because our listener can't see it.
No, they're functional. They should be. They're here. They're just not installed yet. They're still in the box.
What are they hoping to get through rainy season?
Yeah, I can go down the hall and look at them. Look at the other stations. Say, this is the phones that you're getting, these new deluxe phones.
And they know all about it because they already got it.
Yeah.
They've had it for a long time.
They have a special row of phone lines for him to pick up and put on hold, and I pick up an entirely different line. It has its own built-in phone screener, so we don't have to use the one that crashes all the time that they put in here, and that we don't know if it's working right or not. It's all integrated and works with our existing copper lines. And should be perfect. They're not installed yet. They're here in the building.
Well, you know, one thing at a time. You know, maybe by the time we get back from Christmas break, we'll have them in here.
That's what I'm hoping for. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to remain employed at harshly reduced wages and benefits.
Yep.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Nothing like some sweet Lou Gramm in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Beautiful day for a ball game, folks.
Stan and Haney.
Partly cloudy skies, about 111 degrees here in Southwest Florida. Red tide rolling in and getting ready for some good old-fashioned baseball. With me, as always, Stan Olonek. Stan, how you doing today?
Hi, friends. Haney, I'm doing well. Thank you very much, and welcome to the ballpark. We got a good one here for you this afternoon.
Well, you know, they dropped one last night, a twi-night doubleheader, and looking to find their winning ways today.
Well, you're absolutely right. They're a game and a half behind in the East, and just put together a couple of wins. We're looking towards the playoffs. At least get a wild card bid.
You know, I was talking to our producer, and if we do the math right, and check this out. You said they're a game and a half behind in the East. By my math, if they were to get on just a little bit of a tear, they could have that done by the weekend because things are really looking up. They've called up the young Dominican who's been with the Boone Black Sox for the past couple of days, took a quick bus ride, and he's here today at the ballpark. Was talking to General Manager Donnie Anderson. He says he is up to the skipper, but he may make his way up to the mound today, you know, probably in relief. But we're hearing great things about the young Dominican.
That's one reason to come out to the ballpark this week and expecting a full house.
Well, yes, today being a Wednesday, we've got a great crowd out here. We've got our real loyal fans out here today. But this weekend, it's going to be just a... bust them up. Get your tickets now if you haven't already. Plenty of good seats available. And the fireworks are going to be incredible.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Because you can do it on autopilot and you get to be at the ballpark and you're drinking beer.
Sitting out there with the bleacher bums.
Maybe we should do that.
Do what?
Just become roving sports announcers for minor league teams.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to do it.
You know, the teams where they can only afford to broadcast a certain number of games throughout the year, and they bring us in as ringers, and we act like we've been there the whole time and love the team.
The thing is, it's minor league. I'd like to be accommodated for that. You know, room, board, food.
Oh, yeah.
press box.
Yeah, it's all the same, except, you know, you go from, you know, your five-star hotels and limousine to like a Hampton Inn and a car.
Look, as long as it's clean. That's all I care about, as long as it's clean.
The club will put that in there in the contract. Wherever possible, it will be clean, but they cannot guarantee it because they use Uber.
And then the media, as soon as we get bored with it, we stop.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have to go to, I don't know, 150 cities.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get through 10 of them and we're bored with it, that's it. Over.
Yeah.
Over and done with.
Yeah, we come in and audition them.
Yep. That takes a lot of time, too. We're done.
What do you mean?
We get to the 10th game, and then minor league cities from all over the United States are asking us, come on up to St. Paul, meet us over in Bakersfield. No.
You know, I bet if we let it be known that we do it, enough people in baseball know us where we might be able to.
Sure, we can get the word out. What do we do with this show?
Oh, well, this is when we're forced to retire.
Oh! I'm in.
Where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I'm in.
And we just become like a real-life Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
I'm in. Let's do it. Grab bag brought to you by the pewter mug. I love this tenacity, heads up, get the job done. Don Jr., who heads up a lot of our social media stuff now. He wants to go and put something in every day into the Facebook and stuff to get people involved with that stuff. And I told him, you got ideas? You go ahead. You do it. If it can draw more people to the Stan and Andy show, great.
If it works out well, we'll take the credit. If it doesn't, you get the blame.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what he wants you to do on the Stan and Haney Facebook page. By the way, you can find our Twitter page, our Facebook page at stanandhaney.com.
This is just bizarro world. Because I couldn't even explain to them what the web was.
I understand.
And now they're trying to do that.
According to Junior, he wants people to post a current and baby picture of themselves.
Well, okay.
Yeah, let's just do it. People, look, here's the way I look at it. Think of it on a Dave level. People love to brag about themselves. Now, if you're an old hag, but yet when you were younger, say, blankety-blank years ago, and you wanted to show somebody, hey, I was pretty hot back then.
Oh, you mean like when you're over at your buddy's house in your late teens, and you come across a picture of this smoking hot broad,
yeah,
and you go, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's my mother.
Yep.
What?
Holy jeez.
Your mother is sitting over there, and she's got a blanket over her. She's like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
This broad is smoking hot.
We want a now picture and one when you were young. Now, here's the thing.
And you've always said it. Everybody has that time when they're
good looking.
Yep. Yours came when you were what?
I was in like the first kindergarten and first grade.
Yep.
And after that was a mess. I'll give you an example. There is a woman that Dave and I had met when we were doing a thing out and about for the station, but I don't want to embarrass her. Older woman, and she said to us, very nice lady, she said, I was a high-end fashion model in the 80s. And I'm like, no, you weren't. I mean, you're nice. I mean, but you're an older woman, and you've seen some wear and tear. I say, you were a fashion... Yeah. Billboards in New York City, the magazines, all... I said, what, like to a 25? Yeah. She showed me pictures and was an absolute drop-dead knockout. And she was right. Times Square, the big posters of her in a all-white one-piece swimsuit selling something. All the fashion magazines. And she goes, that was me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
They posting. Use her up then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They take it from her.
Go to our Facebook page. You can find it on stanandhaney.com. A now picture of you. And when you were younger, or even, you know.
I don't know how normal people think, but that sounds like way too much effort for me to put in.
You... don't even include you into the normal goings around.
Where would you even start?
Oh, for crying out.
I'd have to call my mom and ask her for a representative picture. You know, she'd have to FedEx that over, and then I'd have to find a scanner and get the settings right on that.
Don't concern yourself with this end of it. Just let him
And then
do
I'd
it.
Have to upload it to somebody else's platform where now they own that.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I'm not asking. Not you.
It used to be copyright mom. Now it's owned by some weirdo in Menlo Park.
Oh, God, my head.
No. I'll not play that game.
There's a pastor.
Watch your language.
A pastor, a reverend in California, and he decided there's nothing in the Bible that said there's anything wrong with drinking. Even when you're at church, there's nothing wrong with drinking. So he holds services now where he microbrews his own beer and has a bar at the church. And I guess attendance is great.
There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't drink alcohol in a responsible manner.
Why not serve beer when they're reading Bible verses? I thought it was genius.
We have a glass of beer and a glass of wine, and it's a comfortable atmosphere where people can not only listen to a progressive take on theology, but they can also engage in conversation. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, like, wouldn't it be great if a church could figure out a way to make a product where they split the profits with local community service organizations? And we were like, hey, we love beer, we love making beer, why not do a brewery bar right here, manufacturing of the beer, the mead, and hopefully the cider is going to be downstairs. They can have one or two. As a matter of fact, if they have two, my sermon's always better.
Thank you, Reverend.
I was starting to get excited about it until he said progressive and I tuned out.
Yeah, I know. See, here's what we don't get, Haney, with the multimedia and all this stuff. I don't get this. It went viral. It's a song. Don't get it. Went viral. Play a little bit of it. The kids today, they love it. I don't get it. A woman who calls herself Doja Cat.
I'm sure that's how it's pronounced.
D-O-J-A. Doja Cat. C-A-T. Put out a song, a weird one, on the internet. And wouldn't you know it, it went viral. I guess it's all about how you identify. And, well, she identifies as a cow.
Well, that's honest.
Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I go moo.
Bitch, I'm a cow.
Moo.
Moo. See, I don't get that.
Well, it's the same concept.
You see Junior over there tapping his toes to it.
It's the same concept as I am woman, hear me roar.
Yeah, kinda.
Only more realistic.
Now, see, here's another one for the kids. I don't know this guy, and I can tell you right off the bat, I don't like him. He scares me. This rapper, YG.
See, I think if you have to put rapper in front of your name, you're not really a rapper yet.
He got kicked off an American Airlines flight because the crew thought he was drunk. Yo. He filmed a video on the jetway claiming he was mother effing sober, okay, mother? Here he is.
Hey, American Airlines on Bloods. They kicked me off the plane. They talking about I'm drunk. No, bro, we gone. They kicked me off the plane. They said I'm drunk. I'm sober than a motherfucker.
Yeah. I want this around my kids.
I'm gone, B. I'm sober. Run it up. American. American. Y'all ain't American. Y'all kicked me off.
It seems like y'all racial to me.
Y'all racial.
Y'all racial.
Y'all racist. Don't tell me I look drunk. Y'all smell like alcohol?
Nope.
Racist. Y'all make me late for my blood. I gotta do Jimmy Fallon in the morning and y'all kicking me off a flight.
I don't want you around my kids.
We gotta remember that line. I gotta do Jimmy Fallon in the morning. You know, he tapes at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, that's when he does it. Doesn't do it at like 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-mm.
He does it in the morning.
Yep.
It looks like the rumors are true. Steve Perry is recording and has a new album coming out. This is not supposed to be released here in the United States yet. The teaser.
But we love Steve Perry.
Steve Perry is going to have a new album on the way in October. A sample of the new song, No Erasin', was posted on iTunes in Japan. As soon as it was posted, it went around the world. Don't look for it on your iTunes.
Well, that's not surprising because, you know, Apple's completely sold out. They're a Chinese company now.
Here's new Steve Perry, a little sample of it. It was just a sample called No Erasin'. Sample
that
of it.
Voice.
Oh, yeah. It is iconic. Yeah, out in October. You're filling big footsteps when you try to go on America's Got Talent singing a James Brown song, especially when you're just 14 years old. And I guess the judges just love this 14-year-old. I'll just move on to the next.
Thank you.
Yeah. They love that. I'll just move on to the next.
Stan. Put you with that band, you'd sound great.
I know. I know that. Put me with you and everybody that did Dave's song, I'd sound great too. Sound better than him. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. But you got to write your song.
Yeah.
It's got to be something as in-depth as El Camino.
That was really deep.
She liked to drink.
She liked to do drug.
Yep.
She likes to what in the...
El Camino.
Yeah. That is...
He wrote that.
So deep. So deep. Oh, speaking of that, I got something to tell you about him. He is the biggest bonehead. By the way, his show's canceled. But, at the top of the hour, I got to tell you something.
Is this something that's going to have him throwing his hat and stomping
on it?
No, it
has something to do with stupidity. It's pure stupidity. I cannot believe this guy. I cannot believe him. I cannot believe him.
Well, you better start believing, brother.
Yeah. Kimmel last night, he got right down to it. You know, this Omarosa stuff. Oh, Trump used the N-word. Well, Kimmel said, we've got a tape of it. He used the N-word a lot.
Nasty.
Nestle. North Korea.
Nuns.
NAFTA.
NFL.
National Anthem.
New York Times.
NASCAR.
Nudes.
No collusion.
Nabisco.
Navy.
New England.
NBA.
Nukes.
Negotiation.
Nosedive.
Norway.
Never.
NATO.
Nice guy.
North Carolina.
Nambia.
Nice.
Nevada.
Nuclear.
Not good.
NASA.
Nigeria.
Nope.
NHL.
News. Nuts. Nazi Netanyahu.
No.
A lot of use of the N-word there. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug. We're going to take your phone calls next. I'm going to tell you how stupid Dave is. and I got one feeler out. I'm going to ask you for your help, Haney, if you know anything about this. But we need to get somebody on this show before Friday. After Friday, it'll be too late. I got one feeler out. It's not like the old days. Let me tell you something. Haney and I, in the old days, could pick up the phone and call a Ray Manzarek of the Doors.
Haney, yeah, we could.
I could go and play a round of golf with Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Mm-hmm.
He and I could go and hang out with Cliff Williams. I could pay his bar tab.
Yep.
You know?
Me, you, and Robin Zander shooting the breeze.
Yes! Those days are gone! I need some help. And I got one feeler out there. Keep in mind, Haney and I used to have these people's home phone numbers. I'll talk about it when we come back. And how stupid Dave is.
And for some reason, those numbers change.
They do! Stan and Haney.
We've been ribbed. Ribbed for her pleasure. Hey, it's in the Bible. Look it up. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic. Your first look at traffic this afternoon. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. We got your emails in about 30 minutes. Got our fingers crossed. This whole red tide stuff going on, and I know people that are going down to the beach are getting sick, and I need an expert to tell us what's going on. And I'm not talking about theories and all this. People are getting sick. That's why I've got to call into my doctor, Dr. Ray Bastardo, to see if he can tell us what's going on with this red tide stuff. So hopefully, cross our fingers, we'll have him on shortly. If his office isn't full of patients and he can break away for a cool smoke. Let's get you updated on traffic. Your first look.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see. Well, we'll start North Fort Myers, hit and run, Pine Island Road, right by the Walmart. This is also North Fort Myers. Crash, Hancock Bridge Parkway and North Cleveland Avenue. We move to Fort Myers, where there is a crash in the 10,000 block of Shepherd Street by the Reef. And one more for you. Fort Myers, crash, State Road 31 and Palm Beach Boulevard, right by the Publix parking lot. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about to tell you. Mark's got today's headlines for you.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will, of course, have some things for you you did not know.
Thank you.
You know, if these scientists would just listen to our show, we could save them so many hours of study time.
Yep.
Because these are things that we have learned in a certain fashion. It's known as the hard way.
Yep. Take the easy way or the hard way.
Big news from the Journal of Sex Research. Stunning finding. Emotionally unstable women are better in bed.
Yep.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah. You don't need some damn study.
Yeah. And even as it's happening, you know, you're pretty happy, but you're thinking, I'm going to pay for this somehow. Bud Light Yeah. Is placing refrigerators full of free beer all over the city of Cleveland.
Yeah, they are.
So there's refrigerators of free beer all over Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
But there's a catch. They're under lock and key. And they won't open until the Cleveland Browns win a football game.
Yeah. And I guess history isn't with them for opening day either. Because it's been years since they've won an opening day football game. So chances are they're going to remain locked for a while.
I'll tell you this about the Cleveland Browns. I wouldn't go that hard against them. Because if you had asked me in January, hey, what do you think about a team that's got Baker Mayfield at quarterback throwing passes to Jarvis Landry? I'd go, yes, Dolphins! How far have things gone? A man shot his neighbor in the ass after arguing about politics on F-Book.
Mm.
A woman breaks up with her boyfriend. Well, he had his revenge. He stole her toilet. And finally, a heavy-set man stole $250 worth of Axe body spray. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter.
Oh, my God.
Always important here on the show. We try to make you laugh a little bit with the 4 o'clock fluffer, Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
You know what today is, don't you?
What's today?
National Relaxation Day.
Ah, that's why I come to work, to relax.
Mm-hmm.
We had a program director that said that. He would say, I come to work to relax.
Yeah.
And on his Facebook page, you know what he had? He had the picture of the control board with his feet kicked up on it.
Yep. Was it toenail trimming day when he took that picture?
That was a different guy. He used to do that on the weekends and leave a pile of them here in the studio. So sick!
You know, we want you to be comfortable at work, but not that comfortable.
Right.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
relaxation tips.
Top relaxation tips.
Take a chill pill and don't have a cow, bro hammer. Spend time with the family. Ideally, someone else's.
Yep. Shut up, Hillary.
You know why all this is happening, don't you?
Why?
She was supposed to win.
Exactly.
We were never supposed to know.
That's the truth.
Strip nude, sit with your legs crossed, and hum. Even if it doesn't relax you, the expression on your coworkers' faces is priceless.
Yep. We'll probably sit around
all fat and sassy. Eat some soups.
Breads.
Yep.
Cakes.
Do some yoga and try and clear your mind of how you can't wait to brag on F-Book about how you do yoga.
Yeah, that's it. You're stupid. You're stupid.
It's simple. Exercise. Your right to drink as much beer as you want.
Yep. Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Close your eyes and think pleasant thoughts. Like the fact that Omarosa will soon be out of all of our lives forever.
Yes!
And finally, the very top relaxation tip.
Yes.
They call it aromatherapy. Take in smells that make you happy, but avoid cocaine.
Yeah.
Love it.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
Yes, he has.
That's it, baby.
Thank you, Freddie. Email time. Oh, you know what? Before I do the email time, it's the only time I'm probably going to be able to get it in. Here's how stupid Dave is. And I've been wanting to say this now because I just found out about it. So his show got canceled for good reason. But he did 2 shows. 4-hour shows. Came in. Yeah, apparently spent his or somebody he knows gas money to come down here. Heard afterwards, after last Saturday's show, he was still in the building like at 12:30 at night, wringing his hands that he had to go all the way back to Cape Coral. Wringing his hands. Oh, I got
trying to get toll money.
Yeah, I got a long drive. So in 2 shows, he put in 8 hours on the air that he could have been paid for, but chose not to fill out a timesheet.
What?
Every time he comes in here, because he's still on the books, and when he comes in on Fridays, all he has to do is fill out a timesheet.
But he can't be bothered.
He can't be bothered. He went on 2 Saturday nights, a total of 8 hours, that if he just put his name down on a piece of paper, the timesheets, when he came in, when he left, he would have been paid money for that. He didn't.
Well, he must not need the... Well.
And he's worried about getting toll money. Every Friday that he comes in here, he could, if he had any common sense, put his time down. He doesn't. I have no sympathy for him. I don't want to hear him whine that he doesn't have toll money when he just, for a pay period, had 8 hours that he could have put in to be paid on, and he chooses not to. Why? Because it's too complicated for him. Can you believe that?
How are we to put someone like that on the road to success?
I don't know. You put him in a place.
And then he complains about being broke.
Correct.
But he doesn't fill out a timesheet.
Doesn't fill out a timesheet. He's been shown.
Has it been brought to his attention?
Absolutely.
And what is his response?
None. He doesn't fill it out. Then the time comes for the timesheets to go in so you can get paid. Use it or lose it. You got to turn your timesheets in. He never fills one out. Doesn't know how. And he's been taught.
So someone will show him. He'll say, right on, right on, right on. But nothing ever happens.
Right over here. See what's hanging on the wall?
Yeah.
That's a timesheet. For anybody, a part-timer that comes in, does a shift, wants to fill out a timesheet and submit it to be paid, they're right not 5 feet from him. He doesn't do it. Let's get to... look at that. Stick pin. This is from our fan, Amanda, who is in Mundelein, Illinois. Mundelein, Mundelein, Illinois. Guys, huge fan of your show. Sad to hear that D-Train is moving on. He will be missed. I became a listener about 2 years ago because my boyfriend, who grew up in Southwest Florida, plays the podcasts almost every day now. I listen to you guys at work, and it makes my day go by faster. I enjoy hearing your views on the world, and I find myself trying not to laugh out loud in the office. I just love your show. We took a listen to Waterman's World on Saturday and promptly turned it off. Those are minutes of my life that I will never get back. Woo. And she wants to know how she can get bobbleheads up in Illinois. I don't know how that can be done.
Well, we have an eager beaver in the producer's seat right now. They have to be packaged up and sent.
Yeah, but I don't... Then what happens is we've done that a few times, and we bring the package up to be meter mailed, and it's like, what are we doing mailing this stuff out? They have to come by and pick it up.
Well, how much does it cost?
I have no idea.
I'll cover it.
All right.
If you, can you do that?
And, of course, we need their address. Amanda's address would help, so we can't do it yet.
So, can you do that?
I mean, I'm sure I can, yeah.
Because there are a lot of moving parts.
Did you find the city?
I did. Okay. It's just north of Chicago.
All right, good deal.
So if you can put that all together, if it comes down to they're going to make us pay for postage, I will pay. Just let me know.
All right, we'll do.
I want that lady to have her bobbleheads.
Absolutely. And thank you, Amanda, for that nice letter. This is from our buddy Josh. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Florida is chock full of transplants. Seldom do you meet a person born here. You know, a raised here Florida cracker. Gentlemen, what was something that you genuinely freaked out about that you had never seen before when you moved to the Sunshine State? Well, Haney's been here all his life.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was wolf spiders. Hell, let's just call them what they are. Wolf tarantulas. Have a good one, signed Josh. It's not an insect. It's not the spiders. It's not the chameleons. It's not the... You know what was shocking to me when I moved to Florida from Connecticut? How much slower the pace is. And, I don't know if I want to go into this. And again, this is 30 years ago. That there are subtle differences between the North and the South, but I'll stick with pace. Everything is slowed down here.
And that's why when we first met, you were angry at me all the time.
Slow. But that's the truth. That's the one thing people from up north coming down here have to adjust to. And you trust me, you adjust to it and you think it's normal. Pace. Everything is just a touch slower.
You know, when I was growing up in Daytona, very young, one thing that I was completely used to, but I haven't seen again, giant grasshoppers.
Oh, I saw one the other day. It was on my condo wall. It was huge. Thing would give you a fight.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, once or twice a year they'd show up.
Yep.
Giant.
Yeah.
But you don't. So you said you saw one, but you don't see them in numbers anymore. Really.
It was one, and I'd seen some, you know, a few other times, but not in big numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Ahoy, gentlemen. Saw this guy this morning. There was a new doc. Saw this morning. There's a new documentary that's going to be on Showtime. Yeah, I was talking about it. It'll be about Leonard Skinner. They were on Fox promoting it. So it's about damn time Strzok got fired. That lying bag of monkey crap.
He really just... His testimony did not help him with America. What a whack job.
Now, we know Orr is scheduled to testify on August 28th behind closed doors, which I don't agree with. I'm betting he pleads the fifth on most questions. If he does, he should go right to prison. Or maybe put him in front of a firing squad. I bet that would make him talk. As a matter of fact, give him to me. I'll get the truth out of him. Of course, that's just my opinion. You guys are the best, signed the Guardian.
He's done it again!
Sure has. We're going to take a break.
He is a true champion.
Hopefully I can get a call through to my doctor to talk about this red tide. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Tell Haney to put out his smoke and get his ass in here. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic here in just a second. Going to tell you about Skindred coming to town. And then hopefully our producer has gotten a hold of my Dr. Bastardo, so we can talk about red tide and the effects. People are getting sick. people that don't get sick a day in their lives. And I want to know what it is that's affecting the respiratory system with this red tide and how people are getting getting sick. Let's get you first updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start in North Fort Myers. There is a crash. 17,000 block of Park. I guess that's State Road 78 and Love's Truck Stop. Fort Myers, disabled vehicle. Ortiz and Colonial. Fort Myers, crash, Daniels Parkway and 6 Mile Cypress. Crash, Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. What else is new over there? And you are up to date. Another traffic update for you in about 30. 96K Rock presents Skindred for a very rare U.S. appearance. It's going to happen on Thursday, September 27th at the Buddha in Fort Myers. Advanced tickets are just $5, and a limited number of VIP tickets are also available for $25. You can purchase the tickets right now on K-Rock's Facebook page. That's Skindred, September 27th at the Buddha. Your chance right now to pick up some tickets. $5, VIP, $25. Yeah. Okay, I think my doctor is on hold here. Dr. Bastardo.
Stan the man.
I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come on the air and talk with me. I know I asked our producer to see if you were available. I know it's the middle of the week. You probably got a waiting room full of patients.
Oh, I sure do. I've got three in rooms right now. Probably wondering where I am. People sitting in the waiting room. I think my 1 o'clock is here,
sir. Doctor, you're like 4 hours past 1 o'clock.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
You got people.
Most people when they gotta come to the doctor during the week,
they gotta take time off.
Yeah, they're taking time off work, so I figure why not make a day of it? I'm doing them a
right,
favor.
Right. So they go, and let's just hypothetically, I know the answer to this already because it's happened to me. I have to be in work for 2 o'clock, so I make a 9 o'clock appointment with you. What time, you have a 9 o'clock, what time do you get to the office to start seeing your patients?
Oh, I don't get there a minute before 11:30.
Okay.
You know that.
I know that. Trust me. I've sat in it. You're a good man. That's why I have your home phone.
Remember,
you always take care of me.
I remember that one time before we were pals. You got all pissed off because you were sitting in the one room where you could see the parking lot and you saw me roll in.
I did.
And then you saw me taking my time finishing my cigarette.
Yeah,
and then you give me this lecture of how dare you, how dare you.
Well, you would think if I'm taking my valuable time to see you, that you would go and have the courtesy of, you know, seeing me on time.
Oh, you try dealing with hypochondriacs day in, day out. You lose all respect.
I understand. And we're friends now. We play golf together. We hang out. And I appreciate that.
So you see the difference now that I view you as a fellow human being as opposed to a patient.
Gotcha. Now, you did
a bunch of hypochondria. Yeah,
did my producer tell you why I needed you on the air today, doctor?
No, he just said that it sounded important to him.
Okay. It's about red tide.
You may want to have your, I don't want to tell tales out of school.
Yeah.
But you may have your producer want to come in for an office visit because he sounds different to me.
He is. We have a new producer.
Like he might. Maybe he's got a cold or something.
No,
I don't know.
We have a new producer.
I would explain if a different human being.
Yeah, it's a different human being. You'll get to know him. You'll get to know him. But I appreciate you taking the time. I want to talk about red tide.
Okay, what do you? Why do you want to talk about that for?
Because people, and I'm sure you're seeing it in your office if you'd see a damn patient, I'm sure you're seeing people coming in with, like, almost respiratory symptoms, flu-like symptoms, cold symptoms. I've heard reports of people getting sores in their nostrils and in their mouths. What is in that air that we're breathing, doctor, that's coming off this red tide? I don't want any explanation of what causes it or it's a bloom or anything. What are we breathing in? I want to go and inform our listeners. What are we sucking into our lungs?
Okay. All right. Do you believe that you are ill from red tide?
I personally haven't been down to the beach to get ill. One of our coworkers went down for the first time, spent 40 minutes on the beach, became irritated in the eyes and the throat and felt it hit him right in the lungs, was sick for the next 4 days.
All right. Because of confidentiality rules and all this, and the HIPAA, that pain in the ass. Which coworker are you talking about? Don't name any name, just tell me who he is.
Remember,
is it Mangus?
Yeah. Yes, he was the one that told me that he was out there. He'd never been sick a day in his life. I mean, and now he's all in the chest and in the head.
Yeah. Well... First of all,
yeah,
Mangus.
I thought we don't use names and HIPAA and confidentiality and all that.
We're not at all. We're just using his radio name.
I want that's his name. I want just for our audience what to be aware of. Let's not single him out.
Well,
I don't think he wants that, doctor. And you know that. What's happened to the doctor-patient privilege?
Well, you know, I kind of, I'll be honest with you, I got a little bit of a problem with him because, you know, he used to be a patient of mine.
Yes.
And, you know, word gets around. I know he went and saw Dr. Sputum.
Maybe he can handle it better with his insurance plan that Dr. Sputum gets his claims filed quickly enough and so that he's not sitting around getting bills delivered to his house. Because you told me, because I get all kinds of bills, you say ignore them.
Oh, yeah, that's all you got to do. You know what? You having a problem with a bill?
Yeah. The matter of fact, the last time I saw you, which was about 2 weeks ago for my checkup so you could give me my cholesterol medicine, you charged $279 for an office visit, and I get a bill that they only go and paid $24 of it, that it should have been the copay, and that I had to pay it immediately. And then I get all the lab bills. Do you file it with my insurance?
I don't do anything with that. I don't see $279, they're only paying $24.
Yes.
Hold on a second, Stan.
All right.
Hold on.
All right.
Man, hey. I got Stan on the phone here. He said you charged him $279, insurance only paying $24. I want to take care of. NAWLAENICK. She's got nothing. Nothing comes up. So I all guess right, never, you're all paid up.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I paid it. Now, look it. Can you just explain to our listeners about this red tide, how to avoid it, what can you do to prevent it, if you do get symptoms from it, what precautions to take? Let's leave me out of it. Let's leave Matt Mangus out of it. Let's just go and deal with generalities for our audience, doctor.
Okay. Well, last weekend, I hate to say this because it might hurt your feelings.
What?
I went golfing.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I was the guest. I couldn't bring you along.
All right. Didn't I ask you last Wednesday, you playing this weekend? And you said,
I don't know. I said, no, I hurt my back.
I don't know, is what you said. I don't know. But evidently,
I remember what I said. I said, I don't know. I hurt my back. I don't think I can play.
You know, I get those cards in the mail for Dr. Sputum. Come and check out our latest facilities. We'd like to see you as a patient. And I've always said, no, I'm a Bastardo guy. But Sputum's going around putting those mailers in everybody's mailbox.
Well, Sputum's going to get what's coming to him because I was out golfing. And we were very, this particular course, I think you know the one I'm talking about, is very close to the water.
Yep.
And I was golfing with Dr. Meconium. You know, OBGYN.
Yes, I do.
Dr. Meconium.
Yep.
And I don't know much about red tide, so I said, hey, we're a little close to the water. People have been coming to the office complaining about this red tide thing, and I'm calling them hypochondriacs. And according to Dr. Meconium,
yes,
he said, don't worry about it. He said, you know what, these people, you're right. They're all hypochondriacs because you can swim in it.
No, you can't.
You can do whatever you want.
What about eating fish from it? What if you catch a fish in the red tide? Is that okay to eat?
Well, here's the rule.
Are you smoking?
Of course I am.
Okay, right. And patients waiting.
Man? I would appreciate it if you showed me a little respect. I got a whole office full of patients that are waiting for me. I'm taking time out of my day to talk to you for free.
And you're talking about that it's all hypochondriacs that are coming in to see you. You got your Dr. Meconium, what?
Yeah, Dr. Meconium.
Saying that there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry. You can swim in it and all that. That's untrue.
Stan, all you got to worry about is what's known in the fish business is your bivalves.
Your bivalves?
If it's a finned fish,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead, eat up, enjoy. It's the ones that are, I guess they call them the filter feeders.
Yeah, bottom feeders, like
but
your catfish.
They usually live in a shell. Something's got a fin on it, and it can swim on its own. Their body can probably filter it out.
Okay. Are you telling me that people like my coworker and other people that are coming into your office with symptoms of the red tide stuff, that it's all in their heads? There's nothing wrong with them.
Well, yeah, as far as current medical knowledge. Matter of fact, I had a patient who insisted there was something wrong with him, so I sent him to a specialist, Dr. Luke Aria. And,
what's he a specialist in?
Usually deals with discharges. Unexplained discharges.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah, got the referral on that one, too, for virtually no reason, just to satisfy the patient.
Well, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You know, that's how the referrals work. You know, when people go into the doctor and they walk out with like four or five sheets of paper and different specialists and all that, you know, I get a little taste. So when somebody comes into the office, I'll give them at least five different referrals.
Yeah.
If they bite on one of them, I get $100.
Are you going to tell me anything about red tide?
Well, really the most important thing, and I'm just talking to you now, okay?
Right.
I wouldn't say this to the general public.
Okay.
There is reason to be scared.
Really?
Because we don't know a goddamn thing about it.
Always good talking to Dr. Bastardo. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
What's that? What's that thing you're working on?
Well, it's a light bulb.
And... A light bulb. I invented that. Me. I'm Thomas Edison. I invented the light bulb. What's it do?
It lights up a room using electrical...
Lights up a room using electrical stuff. I was about to say that because I invented it. What are you working on?
It's a phonograph.
Phonograph! I knew that because I invented it. I'm Thomas Edison. I rule!
Look it up. Edison was a dick.
We've got our finger on the pulse of our numerous enemies. For the sake of clarification, the pulse is most easily located by firmly grasping the jugular vein and squeezing hard. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Oh, I want a couple of things from the Absolute Law text line. Again, I want to thank Dr. Bastardo for his valuable time. Text, evidently somebody right outside his office. Guys, a lady just passed out on a park bench by Dr. Bastardo's office, and he just pointed with a cigarette and said, you might want to raise her legs. Patty said, Dr. Bastardo really knows his doctor names. It's always a pretty important thing because as a kid growing up, you can remember certain dates. I mean, if you're an old guy, it always used to be you remembered where you were when Pearl Harbor happened, or you remember you might have been in school when Kennedy was assassinated, and you remember exactly where you were at 9/11. You remember exactly where you were.
And you wish you were better behaved.
Yep. Tomorrow will be the 41st anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. And 41 years ago, 1977, I remember exactly where I was at when I found out the news. I was in my front yard at my house in Connecticut, and I was shooting baskets at the basketball hoop. I was in my shorts and sneakers, and I was just shooting some shots at the old driveway basketball hoop. And my mom came out the door because she knew I loved Elvis. She goes, Elvis Presley just died. And I remember running into the house and trying to turn on the stereo in my bedroom to hear the news reports. And every station I was going to was playing Elvis Presley music. And then the top of the hour news, they'd have that top of the hour tone. And the news came out and it was the lead story that Elvis Presley had died at his home in Memphis, Tennessee. So I said to myself, 41 years ago, let's go back to 1977. And Haney and I are sitting on, you know, a couple of chairs in 1977 talking about the death of Elvis then. We'd be talking about somebody that died in 1936. If this was 1977 and we were reminiscing about somebody that died 41 years ago, we'd be talking about somebody that passed away in 1936.
Well, I was only 11 then.
So. How old was I? I was
15.
15. I was 15 years old. And remember it very well.
I've told you the one.
So spooky.
It didn't make that big an impact on me because I was, okay, well, it's sad that he died, but he was an old man. He was like 40. He yeah. lived a full life.
Yeah. Died at 42.
Yep. The one that really got me that I do remember vividly was when Belushi died because I could not believe it.
That was 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yep. Because just a couple of weeks before, he did a cameo walk-on Saturday Night Live. He had already left the show, and he did because one of the bands he was supporting, he really wanted this band on Saturday Night Live, and so he agreed to do a cameo, and it was like in a restroom scene. And it was like a couple of weeks before he died, and he was big in the movies at that point in time. And, yeah, surprise, surprise. Yeah, and you always remember where you're at, where you were when you heard the news. Yeah, 1930s.
That was like, because with Elvis, even though I was, like I said, I was 11, but I knew that Elvis and the Beatles, and I don't know that I had this clear of a thought, but it's like they belong to another generation.
Right.
When Belushi went, it's like, that's one of my guys.
Yep. And that's true. I mean, Elvis, when I was a kid, he was part. I got to know about that because of my parents. Well, they used to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was around in the house. And so I listened to him. And I looked at him as like an oldies act back then.
Mm-hmm.
Still putting out music. Still charting. But he was another of another generation.
And if he had hung in there, I'll bet you there would have been multiple comebacks.
Yep. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, let's see. Crash, Gladiolus Drive in Pine Ridge. Daniels Parkway in 6 Mile Cypress. Daniels Parkway in State Road 82. And Lehigh Acres, crash. Griffin Drive and State Road 82, wouldn't you know it? Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
This is Rural News Tonight with Max Robinson in Chicago, Peter Jennings in London, who is on assignment tonight, Barbara Walter, special reports. Tonight, a comment from Howard K. Smith. And from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, August 15th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for some things you did not know.
Go ahead, get it out. By the way, Road Watcher, I-75 northbound, Bonita Beach Road exit. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. A little accident, car off to the side of the road, going to be causing some slowdowns.
Rain.
Yeah, of course.
Stan, how long would it take the average man to produce sufficient seed, if you will, to impregnate every woman on the planet?
Not very long. Not very long. That's the way we're designed. Impregnate as many as possible.
So how long would it take for one man to produce enough to impregnate every woman in the world?
A year.
2 weeks.
Oh!
We're very efficient that way.
That's the way we're designed.
When I say orange, what do you think of?
Peel an orange and eat it.
So you think of the fruit and not the color.
That is true.
Which came first?
Huh? I don't know. The color.
The color orange was, in fact, named after the fruit. Not the other way around.
See, did we ever wonder, and you bring up a good point. Oh, that's the color red. That's the color orange. That's the color green. Who named them that?
Adam.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
There is a place in Idaho. They call it the Heaven's Gate Lookout.
I don't know if I like that name, Heaven's Gate.
Well, it's because of that cult.
Yes.
With the nice sneakers.
Yep. They're all laying in their bunks, going to meet the mothership.
Yep. All they have to do is kill themselves and...
What was that guy's name?
Oh, I can see his face.
He was a nutball, and he had a cult, and it was like... somebody stumbled upon it, and there they all were lying down in their bunk beds, and he couldn't do it. Didn't he kill himself another way or something? He chickened out when he said...
Marshall Applewhite.
Yep.
That's pretty good, Haney.
That's damn good.
See, I'm a little bit slow today, but I'll get it.
But he believed that they were all going to the mothership out there in space or something.
Yeah, that if they all offed themselves at a specific time, yep, they'd be beamed up.
And I don't think he did, and did a lot of pacing and walking. What did I do? What did I do? Before he finished himself off.
Yeah. Well, this has nothing to do with him, thank God.
Okay.
The Heaven's Gate Lookout in Idaho is famous because when you're there, you have a view of four different states. You can see Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and Montana.
On a clear day.
I don't know that to be true, but it sounds good enough.
I would assume you'd have to have a clear day to see all those states.
I just think it's probably clear most of the time. Unless there's a mist.
Yeah.
A little dewy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said it during the headlines, I'll say it again. If scientists would listen to this show, they wouldn't have to do nearly as many studies.
Yep.
Because they tell us things we already know. A new study in the Journal of Sex Research reached a shocking conclusion. They suggest that women who are emotionally unstable tend to be better in bed.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, it's those crazy ones, but then you better not sleep too soundly.
There's a price to be paid for everything.
Yep. That evening might have been wild. It was crazy stuff.
You'll
crazy.
Never forget it.
You'll burn right in. Never had it like that before. And then you see him standing over you.
Yep. And you'll never forget the night that you woke up with a knife to your throat.
Yep.
Because she's gone through the phone and seen that you've been texting with your mom. No, that's my mom. Oh, that's what you'd like me to believe.
Yeah. Oh, come on, mama.
I love you, mommy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, that is so creepy.
The study also continued to break ground, finding that women were more likely to be satisfied with their sex life if the man they were with was, quote, thorough and dutiful.
Jeez. Is there anything else?
No. That's all they could handle at the moment. Their minds were blown. Who could have predicted it?
Wonder how much money went into that study.
A 42-year-old woman in the UK got nailed in the eye playing badminton when she was a teenager and lost one of her contact lenses.
It happens.
She never found it. Until doctors located it.
Don't even.
Lodged above her eyeball 28 years later.
Oh! That's probably when they were using those glass contact lenses. Because most of them today are the soft and you let them sit around, they'll eventually dissolve.
She recently sought medical attention.
Good.
After her eyelids swelled up and began drooping. And doctors thought they'd located a small cyst. When they removed the cyst, they found the contact lens lodged inside of the cyst. Apparently, and until this happened, she had had no symptoms whatsoever.
Except that droopy eye.
Which is surprising, because as you pointed out, it was an old-school hard lens that people don't really wear anymore. And she didn't even know how it got there at first. When the doctors are going, yeah, we found a contact lens in there. And she's like, I got no idea how that happened. It wasn't until her mother reminded her of the badminton accident that she put it all together.
That's incredible. And I'm looking at the X-ray, the ultrasound. That contact was driven up right up into her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Right up in there. You'd figure she'd have a tough time following, like, you know, if she got pulled over for a DUI and the cop pulled out the pencil, follow the pencil.
Yeah.
That something would get stuck in that eye. It wasn't until she started getting a droopy eye that there was something wrong.
It's not all that surprising.
No.
I mean, think about what you and I walk off every day.
No kidding. No kidding. That's nothing. This is nothing.
Damn, that hurts. Is that normal? What am I going to do about it anyway? What, go see Dr. Bastardo, sit around for a couple hours? In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Trace.
What?
Uno, dos, tres.
Cinco, cuatro, cinco, seis.
Yeah. We're learning a lot from those the Spanish station here in the building.
Wooly Bully.
Yep. I get the biggest kick because Dave, they're the program director from our Spanish station here, super nice guy, is amused by Dave.
Uh-huh. Because Dave claims that he was raised by a Hispanic street gang in Los Angeles.
Yep, and speaks the language. But all he does is throw a few orales in with heavily accented English, and honestly believes he's speaking Spanish to the program director.
Yeah, just English words with an accent.
Yep,
and that's speaking Spanish to him.
It's true, and the program director not laughing with him, laughing at him,
and laughing hard,
very hard. And Dave thinks, "Oh, it's my buddy."
Yeah, mi amigo. Did I say Bill?
Yeah.
A 44-year-old gent in Tampa named Brian Sebring was enjoying himself arguing about politics on Facebook last week. And he really got into it with a 46-year-old gent named Alex Stevens, who happens to live nearby. Brian was so fumed, he showed up at Alex's house and shot him over the Facebook argument.
What? What?
Pulled up in his truck, started honking the horn. Then Alex came out, saw him there, and sprinted at him, and Brian pulled the trigger. Twice. One of the bullets striking Alex directly in the ass. The other one in the right thigh. He showed up at the hospital with what doctors call non-life-threatening injuries, so he will be fine. Brian turned himself in later on. He is facing charges for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and carrying a concealed firearm.
I'm looking at their mugshots. These guys are a couple of dull bulbs.
Yep. I wonder what the politics of the one on the left is.
Versus the one on the right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's too hard to tell.
No. I think I know exactly what happened there.
Yep.
I think there's one of them that would chant USA and another one that would chant, what is it? No to the wall, no USA at all. Yeah, no borders, no wall, no USA at all.
Boy, that's a toe tapper. That's got a little ring to it, doesn't it? What the?
God.
That would be the one on the left.
You know, you didn't have this problem back when they were operating sanitariums.
You didn't. Just quietly take them away, put them away. We don't see them anymore.
Nope. Get the help they need.
Yep.
When a couple breaks up,
oh my,
all bets are off. Damn, because they're capable of anything.
Anything.
But then again, so are we.
How do you figure?
Well, this guy.
I'm usually the sucker.
Well, me too. So the girlfriend went to bed as the guy was still packing up the last of his stuff. And when she woke up, she was pleased. He was gone.
Good, yeah.
But not only was he gone, the only toilet in her apartment was gone as well.
That's awesome.
She posted a photo of the bathroom, and there's simply a straight pipe in the floor where the toilet used to be. She says her old toilet broke a few months ago, and instead of having the landlord handle it, the boyfriend insisted because he works as a plumber.
Yeah.
But then he'd constantly complain about how much money he spent on it.
Toilets ain't cheap, depending if you get a nice one with the double flush. And
yeah, you are way too enthusiastic about toilets now.
That scared me to replace that. I replaced two of them.
I know, and by the second time, you were all tough.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. And don't kid yourself. You think that here in the 21st century, 2018, all it is, let me tell you, folks, because I've taken them apart, all it is a porcelain chair with a hole in it. You take away that toilet, which is just a holding tank for some water to use, gravity,
mm-hmm,
and a chair. Take it away, you know what's left? Just like any other third world country, a straight pipe of just unspeakables.
So as the relationship fizzles, he's always bringing up how much money and
sure
time he spent on that toilet.
Yeah.
She says that after she broke up with him, the first thing he said was, "I'm taking the effing toilet." But she didn't believe him. She didn't think he was capable. Apparently, she talked to the cops about it, but it's not clear if they're doing anything. Someone was due to put in a replacement toilet for her yesterday, but in the meantime, she was reduced to using the bathroom at the local Taco Bell.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, please reserve judgment, okay? You don't know what it's like to walk in another man's shoes.
That is so very true, but we can make judgments.
Police in the Toronto area are on the lookout for a heavy-set white gentleman in his 30s who boldly walked into a grocery store last week and helped himself to over $250 worth of Axe body spray. He cleared two entire shelves, tossed the cans in a bag, calmly walked outside, and hopped into a getaway car. It's not clear why anyone would need that much Axe body spray in the first place. Again, he's pretty heavy set. You can't really tell from the security tape how heavy set the getaway driver is.
You know who it looks like? It looks like Zito.
It does.
In the black?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'd say, oh, yeah, that's Jeff Zito.
Yeah, it's Jeff Zito. I'll point him out to you. You know, that Axe stuff, I bet you I know what's going on. Big on high school campuses.
You know? Oh, it is?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Guys like to keep some of that. D-Train told me.
Well, a different time. Back in our day, the only thing you smelled was right guard. That was it.
Spray.
All the same. Yep.
In that copper can.
Yep. Police still have not tracked the bandits down. But as you can see, the security camera got a decent shot of the car. Let's stay tuned.
Doesn't that look like Zito?
It does. You showed me that. I go, oh, yeah, Zito.
Yeah.
Why is it always crime scenes and we know everybody there?
I know it.
And that's the news. for today, Wednesday, August 15th.
Double M X V Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock.
It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes. Stan and Haney are still not afraid. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Roger Marley coming in at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic. It is busy out there. We'll try to update you.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay. Crash, Summerlin Road, 4700 block. In San Carlos Park, we have a crash, Oriole Road and Alico Road. It's also Fort Myers crash, Cross Creek Boulevard and Daniels Parkway.
Oh, geez.
Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, I-75 northbound, mile marker 131. Fort Myers crash, 2100 block of Crystal Drive. Fort Myers crash, 6 mile Cypress and Median crossover. Fort Myers crash, Pine Ridge Gladiolus crash, Fort Myers Griffin Drive and Essex Square Boulevard. Got one showing up in North Fort Myers. It's Shawn Lane and Bayshore Road, and one showing up in Bonita. Where is that one? Oh, here it is. Oh, I already told you. Mile marker. Oh, no, this is a different one. Mile marker 116, I-75 northbound. It's crazy out there, and you are up to date.
You need some cheering up.
I hope so.
It's for you, brother.
Thank you, pal. Man in Black.
Song written for you.
When life seems full of clouds and rain.
This is great.
And I'm full of nothing but pain. Who soothes my thumping, bumping brain? Nobody. When wintertime comes with its snow and sleet, and me with hunger and cold feet, who says here's two bits, go and eat? Nobody. Will I? Ain't never done nothing to nobody.
I
ain't got forgot nothing from nobody. No time, man, until I get something from somebody. Sometime I don't intend to do nothing for nobody. No time.
Hope you're listening, Dave.
When summertime comes, all warm and clear.
Oh, I'm thirsty.
And my friends see me drawing near. Who says, come on in and have a beer?
Nobody.
Nobody. Well, one time when things was looking bright, I started to whittling on a stick one night.
That's what I like to do.
Who said, hey, that's dynamite? Nobody. I ain't never done nothing to nobody. I ain't never got nothing from nobody. No time, man, until I get something from somebody. Sometime I don't intend to do nothing for nobody. No time, I ain't never done nothing to nobody. party. He never got nothing from nobody. No time, man, until I get something from somebody. Sometime I don't intend to do nothing for nobody. No time.
That is so good. That is so good. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
I went to my nephew's high school graduation. I don't think I've ever been more disappointed in the human species in my life. I'm in the stands. This woman gets on the microphone. She tried so hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful day here with all these graduates. We're going to ask you in advance to please not applaud or cheer when your individual child or friend is called, because we have way too many graduates and it would not be fair to the people at the end of the alphabet. We're going to give everybody an opportunity at the end of the ceremony to give a big simultaneous round of applause for everyone. But please, when your individual child or family member is called, please don't applaud at that time. Okay, thank you in advance for understanding. Okay, here we go. Let's get started with our first graduate, Aaron Anderson.
Yeah! Aaron! Aaron!
Are we the smartest species? We're top of the food chain? I so wish, while he was yelling, that a clamp would have descended from the darkness of the ceiling, like one of those claw games, just right above him, and then just clamped onto his ribs and just pulled him up, a whooping and a hollering, a legs a flailing, just pulled him up into the darkness. I don't want him to die. I just never want to see him again.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. Roger Marley up next. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
Okay, I think my doctor is on hold here.
Dr. Bastardo.
Stan the man.
I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come on the air and talk with me. I know I asked our producer to see if you were available. I know it's the middle of the week. You probably got a waiting room full of patients. I want to talk about Red Tide.
Okay, why do you want to talk about that for?
Because people, and I'm sure you're seeing it in your office if you'd see a damn patient, I'm sure you're seeing people coming in with, like, almost respiratory symptoms, flu-like symptoms, cold symptoms. I've heard reports of people getting sores in their nostrils and in their mouths. What is in that air that we're breathing, doctor, that's coming off this Red Tide? I don't want any explanation of what causes it, or it's a bloom or anything. What are we breathing in? I want to go and inform our listeners. What are we sucking into our lungs?
Okay. All right. Do you believe that you are ill from Red Tide?
I personally haven't been down to the beach to get ill. One of our coworkers went down for the first time, spent 40 minutes on the beach, became irritated in the eyes and the throat, and felt it hit him right in the lungs, was sick for the next 4 days.
All right. Because of confidentiality rules and all this, and the HIPAA, that pain in the ass. Which coworker are you talking about? Don't name any name. Just tell me who he is.
Remember,
is it Mangus?
Yeah. Yes, he was the one that told me that he was out there. He'd never been sick a day in his life. I mean, and now he's all in the chest and in the head.
Well. First of all,
yeah,
Mangus.
I thought we don't use names and HIPAA and confidentiality and all that.
We're not at all. We're just using his radio name.
I want that's his name. I want just for our audience what to be aware of. Let's not single him out.
Well,
I don't think he wants that, doctor. And you know that. What's happened to the doctor-patient privilege?
Well, you know, I kind of, I'll be honest with you, I got a little bit of a problem with him because, you know, he used to be a patient of mine.
Yes.
And, you know, word gets around. I know you went and saw Dr. Sputum.
maybe he can handle it better with his insurance plan, that Dr. Sputum gets his claims filed quickly enough and so that he's not sitting around getting bills delivered to his house. Because you told me, because I get all kinds of bills, you say ignore them.
Oh, yeah, that's all you got to do. You know what? You having a problem with a bill?
Yeah. The matter of fact, the last time I saw you, which was about 2 weeks ago for my checkup so you could give me my cholesterol medicine, you charged $279 for an office visit, and I get a bill that they only go and paid $24 of it, that it should have been the copay, and that I had to pay it immediately. And then I get all the lab bills. Do you file it with my insurance?
I don't do anything with that. I don't see $279, they're only paying $24.
Yes.
Hold on a second, Stan.
All right.
Hold on. All right. Hey, I got Stan on the phone here. He said you charged him $279, insurance only paying $24. I want to take care of. NAWLANICK. She's got nothing. Nothing comes up. So I guess you're all paid up. It must be taken care of.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I paid it. Are you going to tell me anything about Red Tide?
Well, really, the most important thing. And I'm just talking to you now, okay?
Right, right.
I wouldn't say this to the general public.
Okay.
There is reason to be scared.
Really?
Because we don't know a goddamn thing about it.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
96 K-Rock.